shining a light on the women creating impact, leading organizations and mission-focused strategic programs across the federal technology and consulting community. This is Impact. I'm being joined today by Julie Hoyt, an Army-trained and registered radiology technologist. Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and allowing us to really see how to get to where you are.
Thank you for having me. This is definitely an honor. I look forward to the discussion today.
Awesome. So let's start with, is there an experience or an event that you believed helped steer you down your current path?
Oh, yes. There's a series of experiences and events that helped steer me down the path of health IT and entrepreneurship. As an Army-trained radiologic technologist, I had the opportunity to witness the forefront of medical innovations as radiology adopted technologies that completely revolutionized patient care. I first worked with teleradiology and picture archive and communication systems while moonlighting at Vanderbilt University Hospital. When I went to work for a large healthcare organization, I was a super user on their health system as well as the radiology systems. I was basically like a walking user help desk from my clinic, and the ordering clinicians who needed assistance with placing radiology orders or finding the results. So in the afternoons, I would assist the radiologists on hysterosalpingograms and assist the various modality technologists so they can leave on time. So I was just really naive and unaware that all of my experiences with teleradiology, the various health systems, and PACS was health IT. So when I was hired to support the military health system as the imaging subject matter expert in the late 2000s, I didn't even quit my job. I took a 6-month leave of absence because I had no idea what I was getting into. Within the first week there, I was tasked to elicit and validate functional requirements from stakeholders for the health artifact and image management solutions. My colleagues at my old job would say, you know, how's the new job going? Like, what do you do? And I would always tell them like, oh, it's going great, but I really just don't know what I do because I didn't. All I knew was that I liked what I was doing and I was good at it. So then I was asked to redefine and validate functional requirements for both the deployable teleradiology system, and then the military computerized physician order entry program, which is called the Composite Healthcare System, CHCS, radiology module. And then also define the medical specialty imaging requirements and the radiology requirements for the interagency electronic health record, which is now known as MHS Genesis. So it was about a year into that role where it dawned on me one morning in the shower. I have been doing health IT all this time, not just in military health, but like going back to when I first worked with teleradiology and PACS. I also had learned a great deal from the chief of information management at MHS. He had wanted me to be hands-on with my projects through full operational capability from a functional standpoint. What he was teaching me at the time, which I didn't know, and it's all the buzz now, is human-centered design and engineering. So regarding the entrepreneurship, teleworking was, as a reasonable accommodation, garnered a lot of negative comments from management. The government client, he was happy with my work, so he had approved periodic weekly teleworking, which allowed me to be with my family, who was a few hundred miles away. When I moved on from that job, then the initial issue was reasonable accommodations for my office, and I needed some personal accommodation. And, you know, it was kind of reminiscent of what I had experienced before. But the final straw was when my manager had asked me to do something that was unethical, and I didn't do it. So 3 months later, I founded Health Information Technology Solutions. I established HITS to create a supportive environment that fosters and inspires people with a passion for purpose, with teleworking and remote work at the forefront of my business model for my team members.
I really like this. Isn't it interesting how you can start your life thinking this is what I'm going to do, and then just life happens and suddenly here you are with this company that's amazing.
Yes.
So Is there one thing that comes to mind over the past 5 years that you would say has made a significant impact on the future direction of health IT?
Oh my goodness, yes. The COVID pandemic has definitely had a significant impact on the future of health IT. Telemedicine existed, yes, but it was a limited element of healthcare practice before the pandemic. And with COVID, we saw a massive spike in telehealth and telemedicine. I was reading a periodical, I remember, and it was talking about how telehealth was going to emerge as this effective, sustainable solution to prevent the treatment and to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Well, sadly, that transition, it really didn't unfold in the same manner across communities. We had barriers in access to telehealth. We had socioeconomic, racial, digital literacy, and English language disparities that existed within every level of the healthcare system, from the patients to the health systems, the healthcare workers to the health telehealth portals, and even with policy levels. We saw marginalized and underserved communities that have limited access to these devices. A good portion of people in rural settings experienced limited to no connectivity. Patients and even healthcare workers were not comfortable using the technology due to lack of training. I mean, I recall a few telehealth appointments where the clinician had issues with their platform. And then we saw centers for Medicare and Medicaid services. They had to broaden the access to Medicare telehealth services so that beneficiaries could get services without having to go to a healthcare facility. That was a waiver at first. It wasn't even permanent legislation until a couple of months later. But I am proud to say that radiology was ready for the pandemic. You know, we already had remote infrastructure in place. And most people don't know this. I learned it when I went to the last at RSNA in 2019, that the pre-digital era of teleradiology dates back to the late 1940s, when it was a telephonic transmission of radiograph using the earliest version of the fax machine.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know fax machines even went back that far, much less radiology.
Yeah, they sure enough did. So it was probably a monstrosity. So the pandemic also impacted the direction of health IT with the increase in the use of the hybrid care models. More health systems were moving to cloud-based platforms. And, you know, the talk of artificial intelligence surely did increase as it was being adopted into healthcare to improve the patient and the provider experience, predictive care, and connected care. Another interesting fact I had learned at the RSNA conference was that the artificial intelligence has actually been around for 50 years. It was used to determine blood infection treatments for diseases like vampirism. Well, I know, bad Halloween joke. But in all seriousness, it was used to determine effective ways to treat blood infections.
Wow. Okay. Now that we've looked at the past, if we look into the future, what do you think will be the greatest focus over the next 5 years? Like, assuming that there's not going to be, like, another pandemic suddenly happening.
Well, I think it's fair to say that most people would actually prefer the virtual healthcare options. So I think telemedicine and telehealth are here to stay, and we're going to see an expansion and improvement of telemedicine and telehealth services with a focus on the human-centered design. I think that's going to be the greatest thing we'll see over the next 5 years. I mean, this year alone, there were at least a dozen bills introduced to Congress on expanding access to care via telemedicine and addressing barriers faced by marginalized patient populations. This is especially important with expanding access to specialty care in those rural areas where specialties and specialists are not readily available. And when it comes to improving the access to broadband internet and the use of services in those areas, those rural areas. And then expanding the range of behavioral health, which is so needed. We are seeing how COVID-19 has negatively impacted people's mental health, particularly in young adults, people who have experienced job loss within families, between parents and children, communities of color, essential workers, as well as the new barriers that was created for people who were already suffering from mental illness and substance abuse. So the future of human-centered design is to make quality care available to those who may not have access to it. This means that the technology has to push for inclusivity. Furthermore, things like cost, efficiency, accessibility, they also have to be considered. We already see that care is moving towards being more remote and virtual. However, virtual services, they still lack trust and quality of care of that of an in-person visit.
Right.
For many people. So, you know, developers are going to have to focus on using the digital tools that provide convenient yet quality health outcomes to ensure equity in telemedicine and telehealth and to leverage these services to maximize their reach. Human-centered design is going to be required to shape these telehealth tools and workflows. Human-centered design, that's what is HIT's special sauce. It comes into play for data integration of the virtual health-related activities and day-to-day clinician workflows, which improve the hybrid care models, thereby increasing the convenience to even receive routine care. And it leads to more personalized health outcomes, particularly those who are suffering from chronic health conditions or those who need acute care support. Human-centered design also improves the data flows across the various players in the healthcare ecosystem with a higher quality product that meets users' expectations and helps eliminate what they call pain point solution fatigue. You know, and that's very important because anybody who works in a large institution does not like having to log on to multiple apps just to get their work done throughout the day. So these improvements of telehealth and telemedicine, they're also going to have to include staff training, patient education, that technical support I was talking about earlier, especially when we're looking at the ongoing monitoring and being responsive in our modifications in use of these services as we promote telehealth equity.
Well, Julie, you are doing some really important work. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening. Please be sure to check out our other podcasts, Keeping IT Brief and Afternoon Tea, available on your podcast providers.